Welcome to this exploration into the source material. I'm really looking forward to diving into today's topic.
Yeah, same here. It's a fascinating one.
So whether you're catching up on community development strategies, or you're just studying organizational capacity, or, you know, if you just love a good aha moment about hidden potential, this exploration is designed to shortcut you to being perfectly well-informed.
Right, getting you all the good stuff without the info overload.
Exactly. So today, our mission is to explore this really paradigm-shifting document called The Christian Advantage, the 164-Hour Church.
Mm-hmm. Edition 1, which came out in September 2026.
Right. And it was written by Dr. Fay, who is the Chief Fundability Officer at the Fundability Institute. The goal here is to unpack this totally fascinating framework for organizational leadership, community impact, and resource management. And it goes far beyond just a typical Sunday service.
Way beyond it.
Okay, let's unpack this. The document poses this really central math problem. There are 168 hours in a week, and a typical church gathers for about four of them. So the question is, what on earth happens during the other 164?
What's fascinating here is how Dr. Fay uses that gaping time deficit to completely reframe the purpose of the institution.
Wow, just completely flips it.
Yeah, shifting it from just a place where believers simply gather to an actual living, serving body that is deployed into the world.
Okay, I love that word, deployed.
Yeah.
But since we've established this 164-hour gap, we kind of need to understand why this gap even exists in the first place, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how do organizations historically mismeasure their own health? We're moving from the math problem to the actual metrics of success here.
Well, the document points out that church health is usually measured by things like Sunday attendance or offerings.
Programs, volunteer numbers.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Exactly. All these internal metrics. But Dr. Fay argues that a church can be incredibly busy with internal activities and still have like zero measurable influence beyond its own walls.
Oh, wow. So you could have a packed house.
Right.
And zero community impact. Precisely. And the text actually uses Matthew 5:14 to make this point. The verse that says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid."
Okay.
The argument is that light isn't only needed inside the sanctuary, right?
Yeah.
It's needed out in homes, in schools, workplaces.
Where people are actually living their lives.
Yeah. In neighborhoods where people carry silent burdens, or, you know, where seniors feel completely forgotten.
This is like a community paying for a massive state-of-the-art 24/7 gym, but the doors are only unlocked for 4 hours on a Sunday morning.
That is such a good way to look at it.
Right. The equipment is just sitting there. But wait, let me push back on this for a second.
Sure.
Isn't the whole point of a church the Sunday worship? Like, you know, the preaching, the fellowship. Why should leaders suddenly be responsible for Monday through Saturday?
It's a fair question. But the text explains the why by separating gathering from deployment. Sunday is merely the gathering, right? It's the preparation.
Okay, so it's like the huddle before the play.
Exactly. The other 164 hours are the actual deployment. The text explicitly states that the church doesn't exist merely to fill seats for 4 hours. It exists to fulfill an assignment during the rest of the week.
Okay, got it. So now that we know success isn't just about Sunday attendance, the logical next step is figuring out what exactly is being deployed during those 164 hours.
Right. We're transitioning from just defining the problem to actually identifying these hidden assets.
Yeah, because we have to know what we're working with.
Well, this is where Dr. Fay introduces what she calls a transformation matrix.
A transformation matrix. Sounds intense.
It's really just a way to shift your thinking. There are a few key shifts. First, moving from maintaining property to stewarding capacity.
Stewarding capacity, okay.
Second, moving from guessing what the community needs to actually listening, learning, and responding.
Because guessing usually doesn't work out too well.
Exactly. And the third shift is moving from just saying the church cares to creating evidence that the church is present.
Okay, I like the sound of that. But what does that actually look like? Are there specific examples in the text of this untapped capacity?
Oh, definitely. For instance, a retired teacher establishing a reading program. Or a tech professional helping seniors with digital literacy.
Just using the skills people already have.
Right. Another example is taking an underused fellowship hall and turning it into a weekday training center. Or using a church van to support local transportation partnerships.
Oh, 'cause it's just sitting in the parking lot anyway.
Exactly. They even mention a media ministry documenting community stories.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. But also, maybe a little risky.
How so?
Well, If we start launching reading programs and weekday training centers and all that, aren't we just going to completely burn out the same five faithful volunteers who already do everything on Sunday?
The classic volunteer burnout problem.
Yeah, it's a real issue.
It is, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, Dr. Fay actually eases this concern. It's not about exhausting your faithful members or forcing every single church to operate every possible program.
Thank goodness, because that sounds exhausting.
It's really about discovering what God has already equipped the congregation to do. You see, community ministry shouldn't begin with asking, what program do we want to offer?
Right.
It should begin with asking, what problem has God equipped us to help address?
Oh, that's a huge shift in perspective. Okay, knowing that we have to use existing assets to prevent burnout, how does a leadership team actually start this process? Like, what's the roadmap?
Well, before adding a ministry or, you know, starting a fundraiser, leaders have to ask three specific questions.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, what has God already entrusted to us? And this goes way beyond the bank account. It means looking at the knowledge in the room, the property, and the community trust you already have.
Wow, counting trust is an asset. That's smart.
Yeah. The second question is, what is happening around us during the other 164 hours? Like, what actually keeps seniors awake at night? What do local employers need? What services are missing?
So really doing your homework on the community.
Exactly. And the third question is, what would change if we activated what we already have?
Oh, would change. I like that.
And you'll notice the text explicitly notes that funding is not where this conversation begins.
Wait, really? Because usually that's the very first thing people talk about.
Right, but it's a paradox. Funding conversations only become natural eventually, like once the ministry demonstrates sound leadership, responsible stewardship, and documented outcomes.
It's like trying to get venture capital for a startup. You don't ask for the money before you've built the prototype.
That is a perfect way to describe it. Show the proof of concept first.
But realistically, how can a small church with, I mean, like a tiny budget pull this off compared to a massive mega church with endless resources?
Well, Dr. Fay makes a really crucial point about that. Size does not determine significance. A rural church is going to serve differently than an urban one. And a congregation of 50 won't have the resources of 5,000.
Which is just reality.
Exactly. The true metric isn't how big you are. It's simply faithfulness with what is already in your hands.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, whether you are leading a church, a business, or, you know, a community project, your greatest untapped resource probably isn't a new fundraiser.
No, definitely not.
It's the people, the property, the knowledge, and the relationships that are already hiding in plain sight.
This raises an important question, actually, and it's based on a teaser for addition to at the very end of the text.
Oh, what's the tease?
The text mentions conducting a church asset inventory to discover these resources hiding in plain sight. So think about your own organization or even your own household.
Okay.
If you were forced to conduct an asset inventory today without spending a single dime, what dormant skills, underused spaces, or professional connections are currently sitting idle during their own 164 hours, just waiting for the right assignment?
That is such a powerful thought to leave on. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration into the source material. And to our listeners, keep questioning the world around you.